Did I ever tell you the story about the country preacher who wanted to have his church painted? Do you ever hear the story? There wasn't much money at the church, and so they looked around for some good bids. And the lowest bidder came from a guy who had a very sketchy reputation around town. This guy, he never darkened the door of the church, but the pastor, preacher, you know, he's always preaching about grace. He's always preaching about forgiveness. He's always preaching about second chances. Like, you know what? Against my better judgment, we're going to take the painter with the lowest bid. So he came over to the pastor's office, and he collected half the money in advance so he could go buy some paint. And then the painter went to the hardware store, and he bought half the paint that he needed to paint the church. He also bought some very cheap turpentine to water down the paint because he wanted to make a few extra bucks off of the church. Warm day, he gets out there, he starts painting. He paints that church all day long up to the steeple. It's beautiful, the sun is shining, until right before he's finishing up the job, storm clouds begin to form above the church. He rushes right down into the pastor's office because he wants to get the rest of the money quick. Pastor says, "Oh, hey, great. Let's go outside. Let's take a look at the paint job, shall we?" And they're admiring. Church looks nice. Pastor's about to hand over the money when all of a sudden, boom! And the thunder rolls and the lightning flashes, and all of a sudden, the heavens open wide, and the rain comes pouring down, and all that paint starts to wash off the church. Preacher gives the painter a hard glare, and he tells him, "Repaint and thin no more." Today, we're going to talk about repentance. The word repent sounds harsh to modern ears. We prefer gentler words, don't we? Like remorse or regret. You don't need to be afraid of repentance. To repent simply means to turn around and go a new direction. We all go the wrong direction sometimes, right? We all need a friend to help us turn around and go the right direction sometimes. Right? Right. This is the common condition of humanity. It's not enough to regret. It's not enough. We have to repent if we want to be right with God. And so we're going to talk about repentance today and how it was a gift of God when the Holy Spirit moved on Pentecost and gave us the power of repentance. This is a wonderful gift. Pentecost Sunday, that is today. This is the birthday party of the Christian church. Happy birthday, church. Let's open up our gift. First, let's open up the Word of God from Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. We are in Jerusalem. Jesus strongly admonished his disciples, his apostles, "You guys stay in Jerusalem. I've got a special gift coming for you." What is that gift? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. But this is also the gift to be different that comes through repentance. Now, on Pentecost morning, there's like 120 believers in Jesus Christ. By the end of the day, 3,000 people were added to their number. They repented and were baptized. Wow! What an incredible birthday party for the church. They were given this gift to be different people. So let's turn to Acts 2, 37 through 47 right now and hear about this incredible birthday gift, the gift of repentance through the Holy Spirit, to be new women and new men. Let's hear that good news. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. God's word. Amen? I love this. Now, the book of Acts tells us that Peter's sermon cut the crowd to the heart. I can tell you from personal experience, this only happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. My job is to preach the Bible. My job is to preach the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit's job to do the work of convicting, okay? Some of the best sermons I have ever written, notice the word written, and notice the human understanding, the ones I was proudest of, the ones I worked hardest on, the strongest sermons I thought on Friday or Saturday didn't convict the congregation quite the way I wanted them to. And some of the weakest, most desperate, Saturday night, late in the evening, desperate Hail Mary sermons that I've ever composed, that's the one that someone comes to me and says, Pastor, that changed my life. Pastor, how do I get to know this Jesus? Oh, I don't understand it. I can't explain it. The Spirit comes as the Spirit comes. This I know, but I got to tell you, standing up here is a wonderful gift to me. It's a wonderful gift because I can see the Holy Spirit moving in your heart sometimes. I can see the Holy Spirit getting to work on people's lives sometimes. It is a great honor. It's a great privilege. It's a great joy. Every Sunday, in some way, I feel like I get to witness the Holy Spirit moving in this congregation. Amen is right. Thank you, brother. Now, the crowd in Jerusalem, they had good reason to feel convicted, right? Peter chews them out in his sermon. Peter says to them a little bit before our reading today, Peter chews them out. He says, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord our Messiah. Now, just to be clear, he's blaming the crowd for crucifying Jesus. Okay? They should feel convicted. Now, some of these people, they are the same people who shouted, Hosanna, and they waved the palm branches on Palm Sunday just a little while earlier. Welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. And Peter makes it very clear that they were, in fact, people in that crowd who shouted, crucify him on Good Friday. These are those people. They had reason to feel guilty. But Peter does not have any reason to feel holier than thou. Why? He denies Jesus three times. And yet, the Holy Spirit found a way to use this guy, this Peter guy, who had failed because he repented and he believed the good news and he was changed by the grace of God. Now, we do not need the Holy Spirit to feel guilty. We do not need to feel the Holy Spirit in order to be ashamed of ourselves. Those are universal emotions. We can do that work all on our own. But we do need the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins, to help us realize it's not just my problem. I've got a problem with God that I need to address. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, we suddenly realize that we are betraying God. And the Holy Spirit stops us in our tracks and convicts us that we are walking the wrong way away from God. You can keep sinning with a guilty conscience. You can keep sinning when you are deep in your shame. But spiritual conviction demands a change of direction. It demands that we stop what we're doing. The problem is, we have all tried, and we have all failed to change all on our own. Anyone here ever try to lose 20 pounds? Anyone here ever try to quit smoking? Anyone here ever have a sin going on in their lives and they figure, okay, I'm just going to stop doing that now? Anyone have that experience in their life? How did that work out for you, by the way? Was that easy? Fix that real quick, did you? You're better than me then. Because I find that I have problems with sin that I cannot fix on my own. I need help. I need the Lord's help to be a different person. After a while, most of us just give up. But that's not repentance. It's one thing to be stopped in our tracks by our sins. It's quite another to turn around and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Now remember, repentance is to turn around. It's one thing to stop. It's another thing to actually turn around and follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Now the gift of repentance is not just a spirit of conviction. It's the empowerment to live your life in a different way. I want you to consider those 3,000 believers on Pentecost. The same people who denied Jesus, the same people who said, crucify Jesus. Their lives turned around. The book of Acts gives a long list of habits, good habits that the Christians made after the Christians repented and were baptized. It might sound idealistic. It might sound downright utopian, but these people really were changed by this Holy Spirit getting to work in their lives. They weren't the same people anymore. How were they different? Did you pay attention to all this cool stuff? Were you listening? This is crazy. The believers devoted themselves to the teaching of Peter, James, and John, and the other apostles. How cool would that be, right? You're just sitting there, and Peter's talking about, oh yeah, I was walking with Jesus last year, and he said this to me. How great would that be? It says they spent all their time in the fellowship of other believers, all their time with their Christian sisters and brothers. Ooh, you think that might have a good influence on our lives? I think so. The believers ate all their meals together, either in the temple courts or at each other's homes. This is going to make the introverts in the congregation a little nervous. Sorry. For extroverts like me, it's like, yes! You cook, we'll cook. This is so easy. Let's just eat together. How wonderful to constantly break bread with the people in the church. They went to prayer services at the Holy Temple every single day. Again, I'm a pastor. I like that idea. Hey, let's pray every day. You know, that might be a little much for some of you, but that sounds good to me. The believers were filled with awe at the miracles of God. How often have you wanted to see a miracle in your midst? They were seeing them all the time. They were seeing miracles all the time. And they shared all their possessions in common. Does that sound like a miracle to you? Someone had a need, so someone else would sell something to cover that need? Well, that sounds pretty miraculous. You want to hear a bigger miracle? I'll tell you. They enjoyed the favor of all people. What does that mean? It means everyone liked them. Do you remember a time when everyone liked the Christians? Do you remember that? Everyone liked the Christians. By the way, that doesn't last very long. And every day, more and more people were becoming Christians. How great would that be, that every single day that there'd be new people in church who wanted to believe in Jesus Christ and repent and be baptized? How great would that be? Ooh, makes my heart flutter. If that sounds like paradise, it's because the first Christians behaved like they already belonged in heaven, right here, right now. Sound good to you? Sounds good to me. A warning. There's a real danger in idealizing the early church. Keep reading the book of Acts. This is just Acts chapter 2. Keep reading the book of Acts, and you will see for yourself that the first Christians were just as greedy and just as selfish and just as angry and just as sinful as we are today. They were not any better than us, even though they had Peter and James and John preaching to them all the time. They were sinners too. What does Peter say in the sermon today? Do you remember? He says, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Anyone ever hear that today? We've been saying this for 2,000 years. Save yourself from the corrupt generation. Here's a little secret for you. Every generation's corrupt. But the next time you're complaining about the generation behind you or the generation before you, or for that matter, even your own generation, I want you to remember, every generation has sin. Every generation struggles. We've got our own sins, yeah, but is it any different from the sins of previous? No. They weren't any better than us. The only advantage that the first Christians had over us is they took repentance seriously. They were convicted of their sins. They were empowered to change for the better. We have no problem today talking about self-help. We have no problem today talking about personal growth, self-actualization, however you want to put it. But we usually stop short when it comes to repentance. We want to be right with each other. And this generation, uniquely, we want to be right with ourselves. You don't see that in any of the literature for the last 2,000 years. You see it today. Got to get right with myself. What about getting right with God? Right? What about, and I'm not beating up and being right with yourself, but I'm saying, what about being right with God? If you want to be right with God, it demands repentance, stopping and turning around towards Jesus, not being perfect, but being loved, being forgiven, given the power to change for real. Anyone ever see the movie The Blind Side? Yeah, Blind Side. Sandra Bullock, she won a Best Actress Oscar for playing Leanne Toohey in this movie. It's the true story of how this Christian family took in a homeless youth named Michael Oher and helped him to achieve his God-given potential. Even if you don't like movies, you might know the name Michael Oher if you watch football on Sunday mornings. He was a first-round draft pick of the Baltimore Ravens in 2009. I'm trying to preach to both sides of the congregation here, the movie watchers and the football watchers. Okay, all right, I'm trying, folks. I'm trying to get after all of you. Okay, Michael Oher, he had a very successful football career, right? 2 Super Bowls, 1 a ring. Real impressive guy. Offensive Rookie of the Year 1 year. Impressive guy. But he once was a homeless kid. Walking down the street in November, freezing in a pair of shorts. The real life Leanne Toohey tells the story of how they obeyed God and they welcomed Michael Oher into their lives. They spotted him walking along the street as they're driving along in their SUV or their minivan, driving along. In the movie, it's nighttime. In the real world, it was during day, going to school or something. And it's drama. And they drove right past this kid, this homeless kid, this freezing kid. Drove right past him. And Leanne Toohey uttered 2 words that changed everyone's lives. Turn around. They flipped a U-turn, put Michael in the minivan, and eventually adopted him into the family. Turn around. 2 words, right? They could change a life. Turn around. Change his life, change the family's life, Change the lives of people who've heard the story. Turn around. That's what repentance is. To turn around. You have the conviction to stop what you're doing. You have the empowerment to go the other direction. That's a Holy Spirit thing. For those of you who are not Christian, this means doing an about-face about your belief in God. Repent and believe the gospel. For those of you who are Christians, you're not off the hook either. I don't know anyone that's graduated from sin. Even if you've been a Christian forever and a day, those words are the same for you. Those words are the same for me. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe that the Holy Spirit has come to help you be a different person today. Turn around. Turn around. You can be a different person today than you were yesterday through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, no one here is perfect. We all need the Holy Spirit to help us turn around and to recognize the love and the acceptance of Jesus Christ. Now, God gave us this Holy Spirit. God gave the church the Holy Spirit as our birthday gift. And as Peter put it in his sermon, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And Peter had no idea how many countries this gospel would spread to. And Peter had no idea that we would be here 2,000 years later with generations beyond his own hearing the same simple message. Turn around. Turn yourself around. Repent and believe the gospel. The birthday gift of the Holy Spirit is right there waiting for every willing soul to open it up and to be a different person. Now, I'm almost done trying to convince you that it's a good idea to open up this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit and the power to be a repentant human being. Let's see if the Holy Spirit moves today, huh? Let's see if the Holy Spirit's working in the congregation today. Moving in your hearts, moving in my heart, moving in anyone's heart. I'll take any heart this morning, friends. Let's see. All you have to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And this means you will be convicted to stop what you are doing. It'll mean that you will be empowered to be a different person tomorrow. If you are like me, and I think that you are, you'll still make mistakes. You're still going to sin. You're going to need to repent probably every day if you're like me. Probably every day is a good idea. But you can't be saved unless you are willing to repent and believe this gospel message that Jesus can save you from your sins by his forgiveness, but also slowly and surely letting the Holy Spirit go to work in your life and change who you are. Turn around. Turn around. Turn towards Jesus. Turn towards his grace. We can all be redeemed by the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Would you join me in prayer? I'm going to invite you to just pray quietly in your head after me. If you're not a Christian, by all means, if you're praying this for the first time, talk to me afterwards. If you are a Christian, I hope that you have the courage to repent quietly in your head as we pray these words right now. Father, you know my failures better than I do. Send your Holy Spirit to convict me of my sins. Send your Holy Spirit to empower me to change. Redeem my life for the sake of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.